Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley with you here again on, I get tired of saying it, but I really don't, on another beautiful day. The Lord has really been gracious to us. It's a little bit cooler at the end of this week. Suddenly, September, October made its way into our early August here. But you know what? Once again, we can celebrate that we still have a good portion of summer left. And the Lord has still been really, really gracious to us in terms of giving us this beautiful weather to get out there and to recreate in His Spirit, to relax, to refresh, and to get ready for the year that's upcoming. Although I'm guessing right now that there are quite a few folks who are, especially parents, who are getting into that back-to-school mode. At least it's starting to come into their minds anyway, that they're thinking about, well, it may be about time for Junior to go back to school, or juniors, as it was. Maybe there's a lot of children in the family. But I want to make another suggestion. I've been suggesting things throughout the course of the summer, things we can do to recreate and be recreated in the image and likeness of Christ, to deepen our faith over the course of the summer. The reading list on rediscover-faith.org, to check in with that and to put some spiritual reading on your summer reading list, has been one. Last week, I talked a little bit about prayer walking or prayer riding, as it were, praying for businesses and residences and schools and the like as we make our way through neighborhoods in our vicinity. And then today, I just thought, well, what about taking that travel a little bit farther? How about doing a pilgrimage? And pilgrimages, as you no doubt know, can be made on a number of different timescales. So if you just have a few hours to spare, stop into a parish that you have not visited before. The cathedral is my home parish, and the Cathedral of St. Paul is a wonderful, majestic, beautiful place where it's quite easy, I think, to find yourself swept up in the magnificence of God, the transcendence of God, and to spend some time in contemplation and prayer. There's many other parishes, beautiful parishes around our archdiocese, and pick one that you haven't seen before and go and visit for a few hours of adoration, a few hours of contemplation and prayer. So that's kind of on a mini scale. If you happen to have a whole day in front of you, hey, load up the family and take a little bit of a trip, right? Have you been down to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse? Beautiful place. Highly recommend it. Very easy to come into the presence of the Lord, spend some time together, go to Mass, go to confession, visit the shrine itself, learn more about Our Lady of Guadalupe, and be with the brothers down there as you are together with them and growing closer to the Lord together. If you've got even more than just a day, La Crosse can be done in a day. That's a day trip. And by the way, if you do head down there, I'd highly recommend going down Highway 35 on the Wisconsin side and stopping at Nelson for their ice cream. It's excellent. Anyway, that's just a little commentary on my end. If you have more than a day, then why not head down somewhere like Milwaukee or Chicago, over to Champion, where Our Lady of Good Help is the only approved Marian apparition here in the United States, just outside of Green Bay. So a couple days over there, some time there, and a day back. It's 4 or 5 hours over there from the Twin Cities, so make that a trip. Or, as I said, Milwaukee. Holy Hill is down in the Milwaukee area, so you could go down and visit that shrine. I grew up in Wisconsin Dells, which is about 3 hours here from the Twin Cities. And little did I know it, because I wasn't a Catholic then, but the National Shrine of St. Philomena is just there in Briggsville, which is just outside of Wisconsin Dells. So, hey, if you're looking for both faith and fun together in one trip, maybe that's a possibility. So just think about it. How could you use a pilgrimage to visit some great Catholic parishes around the area? And speaking of great Catholic parishes, actually, that's what we're focusing on today. We're starting a new series here that every first weekend of the month, we are going to focus on a great Catholic parish here in our archdiocese. Now, there are many great Catholic parishes. I think I would be, I would probably not want to say that any Catholic parish wasn't great, because, of course, the Lord's presence himself makes us great. But we want to share some best practices that are going on around the archdiocese so that both parishioners and parish leadership and clergy alike can all come to recognize some of the things that the Lord is doing. And today we're going to be focusing on family formation, growing in faith together as a family. And we've got Deb Lindahl from the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, who's going to be explaining more of how that started here in our area. We've got Molly Koop, who's a mother herself, and she's going to talk about what family formation has been, what kind of an effect it's had on her own life and the life of the lives of the people in her family. And Jessica Balzarini, who has been on the show before, she's going to join us to talk a little bit more as a DRE about how particularly family formation, she's seen that really bear some great fruit in the parishes with which she's worked. So that's what's in store for us this Rediscover Hour. And as always, let's pause and commit the show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I think we've got a great show in store for upcoming about talk about family formation. Deb Lindahl from the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake joins us right after this break. Rediscover.
In 1984, Westside Tire and Corcoran started business to provide tires and service to the good people of the area. Now, as they celebrate their 33rd year of unequaled service, they invite you to their annual open house, Friday, August 18th. Come and join the entire Westside family and customers for a traditional pork chop feed plus Bigfoot the Monster Truck. Beginning at 11 a.m., enjoy lunch at Westside Tire. People come to Westside for a lot of reasons, but one reason people keep coming back is Westside's ability to take care of their customers' tire, brake, and alignment needs in a friendly, personal manner. Friday, August 18th is the Westside Tire Anniversary Open House. Beginning at 11 a.m., there'll be special treats and the free traditional pork chop lunch while supplies last. Westside Tire is just west of the Metro in Corcoran. Visit westsidetire.net for more details or call 763-420-2100. 763-420-2100. Westside Tire, taking care of you for 33 years.
Anywhere by running away. I never learned anything without a mistake.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Great to be with you this morning, or if you happen to be listening to the rebroadcast Saturday evening or Sunday morning, good to be with you anyway. And I hope the Lord is treating you well and you're finding Him close to you during this time, this summertime. Joining us now as we talk about family formation is Deb Lindahl. She's here in studio with us, and she is the director of distance family formation at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. And she has, I think, been at the spearhead of all the family formation efforts, at least that I'm aware of here in the Archdiocese. But Deb, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Patrick. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great. So, I have two questions that I need to start off with. One is, What is Director of Distance Family Formation? What does that mean?
Well, we are doing the Family Formation Program at the Church of St. Paul, as we have been for the past 30 years. My role, actually, is to work with parishes outside of the Church of St. Paul that are using the program, and that's been happening for the past 15 or so years. And so I have the great privilege of speaking with parish leaders all across the country, in Canada, even beyond sometimes, about family formation, what it is, how it works. And also just with people who are looking for a way to really involve parents in being the primary educators of their children in the faith.
Right, yeah. And in fact, I should mention at this point that in my role at the cathedral as family formation, or excuse me, as faith formation, I called you up one day. We were talking about this two or three years ago. Actually, I didn't even know who I was supposed to talk to, and they put me through to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for 2 hours or something. So you're very good at the distance part of that. That's very good.
It's my favorite part of the job.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Okay, and the second part is, tell us some about your family. Before we get into family formation, tell us about your family.
Okay, my husband and I have 5 children and 6 grandchildren. We've been members of the Church of St. Paul for the past almost 24, 25 years.
And excellent. And with that, are you local to the Twin Cities area going all the way back?
I live about 3 minutes from church, so it's great in terms of being involved in everything that's happening there.
I love it. I love it. Yes, yeah. That's very nice. Okay. All right. So let's get into this family formation thing. Mm-hmm. Start about where did the vision for this whole thing come from?
Family formation really grew organically out of a need that we saw in our parish, as I mentioned, 30 years ago. Father Tim Nolan was the founding pastor of our parish, and we were a fairly new parish at that time. We were doing the typical weekly drop-off model of religious education, except that our building even was so new and just really consisted of a worship space. And so we didn't even have places where children could meet on that weekly time. And so our classes were meeting in family homes, and parents would get in the car and drop off one child in one home and then circle around and continue to drop off their children at different places, maybe dash off to the grocery store or grab a cup of coffee with a friend and then make the circle back again. And as, you know, in good parent fashion, as each child would get in the car, mom or dad would ask, "So what did you learn tonight?" And the typical response was, "I don't know," or "I don't remember." And it was the end of the conversation because parents weren't involved in a relevant way and really didn't know what their kids had learned or how to continue the conversation. And so our pastor, Father Tim Nolan, recognized really in his great wisdom at that time, 30 years ago, that what we were doing really wasn't effective in raising children who were going to be lifelong Catholics, because in a lot of cases, parents either didn't know their faith or weren't living it. A lot of families weren't even coming to Mass on a weekly basis. And so he gathered a group of parents together and just started praying. And it really came out of discernment in some very intense prayer about what is it that the families in our parish need to raise their children in the faith. And what kind of developed out of that is the beginnings of family formation. And we've been doing it really according to the model that developed out of that ever since.
Right. And it draws on some pretty important principles, right?
That really does.
That you already alluded to some in terms of the parents being the primary catechists for their children.
Right.
And that's also not just by teaching, by word, but also by, and maybe more so, by modeling.
Right. Our goal really is to form the parents so that they are living the life of faith in the home so that they can raise good Catholic kids to be lifelong Catholics.
So how did the program continue to evolve from that initial starting point? Mm-hmm. When you pitched it to the parish, were they receptive?
I was not involved in that way. I was actually in the pew as a parent at that point.
Oh, okay.
So I've actually been through it with my own children. I understand that some parents were not excited about it and didn't participate. They looked at doing religious ed in another parish nearby. We also had people that would travel. We meet one time a month. I'll talk about that in a little bit, but would travel that one time a month from great distances to be a part of the program. And I think it really grew and developed. It takes some time, and we've found that even in other parishes too, it takes some time for parents to really understand what that means, that they are primary educators of their children in the faith. I know for me especially, that was the first time I'd ever really heard that. I thought that my role was to drop them off and let the experts teach them.
Right.
And that's really not what the documents of the church say.
Right. Right. So thinking through that and helping to understand, I'm hoping that our listeners are tamping at the bit saying, okay, well, if it's not the drop-off model, what is it? What does it look like? So, yeah, tell us about what does it actually look like on a week-to-week basis.
So the program runs September through May. In September, we just have a kickoff. We call it an extravaganza in our parish, and we want to do something really fun and have the families come and take care of some business kinds of things, too, so that when we really get down to business and start in October, we're ready to really delve in. And so each month, families who have children in preschool through grade 6 come to the parish one time a month. The children go to a grade level classroom with a trained catechist. We train our catechists every month. And the parents stay during that time and receive a teaching. Everybody who's on site at that time, parents and children, are learning about the same topic. So it solves that problem of getting in the car and asking your kids, what did you learn today? And they're saying, I don't know. And that's the end of the discussion. Parents know because they've received a teaching on the same topic. And then families are sent home with a packet of home lessons to do, one per week, on the weeks in between those monthly gatherings. The lessons are done as a family. There are not grade level specific lessons for each child, but you sit down as a family, which really we have found sets kind of a format for having faith discussions within the family. Even as the kids get older into high school, they're comfortable discussing faith topics, which isn't necessarily the case in a lot of families today.
Right. And I would imagine it can be rather intimidating if you don't have a lot of background in the faith yourself. And you feel like, well, this is something I want my child to know,
right,
and to be involved with to the level that he or she wants to be involved with. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to do it.
Right.
So that's what you're addressing.
Right.
Okay.
We form the parents. Great formation topics on those monthly sessions. We also walk through them what the home lessons are about and give them tips on how to present it, that sort of thing. But really, the lessons are laid out in such a way that it's very easy for parents to teach their kids in the most simplistic way they could read the lesson to their kids. There's games to play that reinforce the topics. There's different activities that happen within the lessons. And what we've heard so often is parents saying, I've learned my faith for the first time. Mm-hmm. And really our focus is on the parents, kind of in a roundabout way. We really want parents to be knowing and living the faith, as I said, so that they can model it for their kids.
Right. So when you have that monthly meeting and the parents stay and they're formed,
right,
what's going on with the children at that point?
The children are in a classroom, a grade level classroom, and they also have a lesson that the catechists are teaching them from. So they start out the time with some prayer. They look at the liturgical calendar and figure out where we are in the liturgical cycle and start to understand, you know, the liturgical colors and, you know, all the different seasons of the church and that kind of thing. Again, really wanting families to start living and breathing the life of the church. And then there's a lesson topic that they discuss. We also have a little breakout session for the students each month called Catholic Academy that gets them up out of the classroom into, it's typically a little drama presentation that's just a really fun way to present the topic.
Sure.
And they really enjoy that too.
Wow. Yeah. Well, kids wanting to get up out of their seats, I can't imagine.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And you said this is preschool through grade six.
It is.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty wide swath of
It is.
Children.
Of course, in the family lessons, we really encourage families that have students on either side of those age groups to include them as well, so that it's a family lesson and a family topic, you know, discussion on faith.
Yeah. Right. So I'm curious, I presume this is that all that's on offer for religious education?
It's the only thing we do at the Church of St. Paul, the only thing we have done for the past 30 years. Certainly, when parishes are beginning, one way to do that would be to have a pilot group of families try it for a time while they're running their regular religious ed and then move into that maybe the following year or mid-year. And there are some parishes that are running two programs, giving parents an option that can work as well.
Mm-hmm. And how many parishes here in the Archdiocese, roughly, do we have?
A year or two ago, there were 10% of the parishes. I don't remember what that number is exactly, but 10% of the parishes in the Archdiocese were doing it.
Doing family formation.
Right.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten both here and within this Archdiocese and beyond?
The two top things we hear, the one I mentioned earlier is parents saying, I've learned my faith for the first time, really regardless of what their background is. And the second thing is pastors and DREs saying we're seeing these families at Mass on a regular basis that we hadn't been seeing before and coming to receive the sacraments, reconciliation, et cetera.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's such a great
thing.
That's
awesome.
Wow, that is awesome. If other parishes, parish leaders, clergy want to find out more, where can they go?
We have a website, familyformation.net. Lots of information there. We'd invite you to call us, either myself or Lori Mueller in our office. Our phone number is 763-757-1148. We're talking all the time with people, explaining as you experienced when you called a few years ago.
Yes, right.
Just explaining how it works, because it really is kind of a different concept. And we also have a blog, whether you're doing family formation or not. Sue Klayeski does a great job with our blog, and that's familyformationblog.net.
Wow. Well, stay with us if you would, Deb. I'm going to invite into the conversation now Molly Koop, who's a parent, a mother, and she is going to talk about, you've been involved now, Molly, with family formation for a long time. First of all, welcome to the studio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great having you here. So let's start off with you the same way. Tell us about your family before we get into the family formation bit.
Sure. My husband, Brendan, and I have 8 children. And our oldest is 15. Our youngest is just about to turn 1 next week.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, wow. And so that's quite a large age range.
Right,
there. Yeah,
right.
15 down to 1. Now,
right.
You've been involved with family formation there at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake for
right.
a long time.
Right, since our oldest daughter was 3 years old, she started out with a Little Lambs Sunday celebration program. So, and now she's 15, and we keep her involved, even though she's kind of technically aged out of the program. We keep her involved and the older children involved with the rest of the family.
Sure. So when you're saying when you meet on a weekly basis around the dinner table
right.
or whatever it would be, you include the whole family.
Right. We try to include the whole family, of course. As the family has grown, we have kids going every which direction. And actually, that's one of the greatest benefits to having family formation is that it's really flexible for our family. And
okay.
we're able to, it's not another place that we have to go and drop off our kids. It's an opportunity to bring everyone together and discuss our faith, which is the center of our family.
Yeah. What a great thing. Now, you were telling me that you started this, well, obviously, like you just said, you started this with just a few children, one child, and then
right.
now you have 8 children. And of course, your own family dynamic has changed in that time. So how has the whole family formation dynamic changed in that time?
Right. So when we just had our first children in the beginning, Clara and Aiden, we would do the lessons with them together. And the lessons are laid out so that everyone is speaking about the same topic together, no matter their age. All the activities are suited for their age range, but everyone's learning about the same thing. So in the beginning, we really were able to invest in those 2 children. And then as the family grew and aged, now we have the older children maybe working with the preschoolers on a coloring page, and my husband and I will engage more with the middle-aged children. But we really do try to keep everyone together to come together to learn our faith together, which makes it just opens up that conversation on other opportunities mm-hmm. when certain things come up in the family and we are able to reference those times.
Right. So you're really seeing it integrated into your day-to-day
right,
family
our
life.
Day-to-day, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So any stories of fruit that you have seen?
Absolutely.
From, yeah.
Family formation has helped us bring the faith alive in our home. And there are so many concepts of our faith that are just lofty and hard to understand. But family formation has offered us opportunities to just help our children really grasp the truth of our faith and the beauty. One of the greatest fruits has been through the First Sacraments program.
Okay.
All of our children have felt really well prepared to receive the sacraments. There's one particular lesson that we've repeated with our children that just really has affected them and brought that to life. There's one lesson where the children are asked to put a small bag of rocks, which symbolize sin, on their wrist. And at first, of course, the kids are like, oh, this is light. It's no problem. This will be fine. And slowly over time, that bag of rocks starts to feel heavier and heavier. And after 3 hours, really, it's a heavy burden to carry around that weight. And then when they're able to remove that bag of rocks, we're able to talk about how the sacrament of reconciliation lifts the burden
yeah.
of sin from our lives, and you can just see the light bulb moment in their eyes, and it just really brings the faith alive
yeah.
in their lives. So
yeah, well, it's a powerful lesson. Deb, let me envelop you in the okay. conversation here too. Molly brought up a good point about first sacrament preparation, mm-hmm. and what does that look like in under family formation?
It works with the basic model, similar. So families who have children who are preparing for first reconciliation or first communion come that same time each month. The only difference for the sacramental prep students is that they are on a track learning about the sacraments specifically during that monthly gathering. So when I mentioned that everybody's learning about the same topic, that's the one exception is the second graders, at least in our parish, second graders are learning about the sacraments during that time. And then those families also have a separate booklet for each of those sacraments, so they do a home lesson with that sacramental prep child at home each week also.
Okay, so there is still the follow-up family formation for those first
Absolutely,
sacraments.
Yes. So we would encourage families that have a sacramental prep child, ideally, to do the regular family formation lesson, to include that child in the regular family formation lesson, and then set aside a little bit of extra time to do the sacramental prep lesson in addition to that.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you, Deb. Molly, back to you for a moment. So what fruits have you seen from family formation in your own life of faith? How have you grown and deepened in faith?
Well, family formation has helped my husband and myself just really answer the promise that we made when we presented our children for baptism.
Okay.
And it's just really impressed on us how fully we need to live our faith as a model for our children. So it's encouraged us to just read more and take retreat time for ourselves and show our children that our personal faith is the catalyst for our family. And so we've tried to take opportunities to grow as well so that we're able to feel equipped to share with our children how the Lord is working in our own lives.
Yeah, what a great testimony, too, if you can say, this is how the Lord is working in my life
right.
to your family and have them be receptive to it. Mm-hmm. Novel concept. I love it. And it sounds like it's also helping you to live into the vocation of being parents as well.
Absolutely. And I say this a lot. Family formation has a ton of really solid catechesis, which probably initially when we came to the parish, that's what we were looking for. We wanted a really solid program that was faithful to the magisterial teachings of the church. And what we found is while those things are all very important, the model of family formation kind of trumps that in a way, because it's encouraging us to come together and just really grow together and show our children that you don't just learn this, you know, to a certain point and you get your sacraments and then you're done, but really you never stop learning your faith and that we learn from each other. I learned so much from my children just watching them experience the faith for the first time. It's beautiful.
Excellent point that, you are learning from each other. Although
you're
the primary catechist for your children are still helping you to better understand the Lord, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds biblical, right? So I'm gonna call you out a little bit here. I want you to be honest with us
okay.
now. So are your kids always ready and raring to go, always really happy and excited for family formation time when that time rolls around each week?
I would say it comes and goes
okay,
in waves.
Good. That's honest,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the neat things actually is that my husband really gets involved with this time, and we do homeschool, and so they hear from me a lot.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that they get sick of me, although maybe they do, but they hear from me, and to have my husband there really witnessing to them, that is exciting for them. That's one of the things family formation has really encouraged. There's a portion of every lesson that says, hey, Dad. It just gives Dad an idea of how to really engage the kids in kind of a dad sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that definitely helps.
Yeah. Well, I just say that, but then I quickly have to follow up with, but what model of religious education do you see children always,
right.
every single time,
excited
ready, ready to
be
go?
There, right.
And is that really a good litmus test for how effective the actual model is? Sometimes you just say, hey, you know, we got to do this regardless of whether we feel like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm guessing here, I'll ask you this question. Are you and your husband always ready and raring to go when it comes to family?
I think sometimes at the end of the day,
exactly.
You know, sometimes you just do things because you know they're important.
Right.
And then maybe going into it, you don't feel like it's top priority, and then you leave that lesson thinking, wow, the Lord was really present in our family this last hour, and the Holy Spirit really guided this conversation, and what a gift to have this opportunity.
Yeah, right. How are you hoping that your children take this time of family formation? How are you hoping that it shapes their lives for their adult lives?
Right. I just really want them to know Jesus and know that the teachings of the church are a foundation for them, because we all, you know, we all go through times where we wonder if the Lord is near, but this is the foundation that I hope that they can always fall back on. And also the foundation knowing that their family is there for them to support them in the faith when they may have questions anytime. We want them to be able to come to us and ask those important questions.
Yeah.
And know that maybe we don't have the answer, but we can find out together.
I think that's a tremendously important point, right? That this time that you're spending each week together as a family, growing in faith together, mm-hmm. that is really setting the stage for everything that comes up. And God knows that the deeper, the longer we live, the more complex and complicated the problems that we face, the challenges we face become.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that we can return to the family and say, look, we really need help with this.
Right.
Yeah. What a wonderful thing. Wow. Well, Molly, what would you say to any parents who are hearing about this for the first time and wondering, is this something that we should try? What would your recommendation be?
Well, I've had this conversation actually with lots of parents who would like to see this implemented in their own parish, and maybe it's just not a good time for their parish to implement, and Deb can speak more about this too, but there is an opportunity to get family formation, home lessons, even if your parish is not implementing family formation as a whole. You are able to order those lessons to use in your own family without the classroom piece. Mm-hmm. So I would really encourage people to look into that and really just start with praying with your children every day and being open and asking questions together. I think that would be the first step. And then, you know, if you feel called to family formation specifically in your home, there are ways to make that happen as well.
Wow. Molly, thank you so much for living out so so beautifully your vocation to being a wife and being a mother.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being on the program. And Deb, just to bring you back into the conversation about that too, what would you say and how would you advise mothers along those same lines? Where can they go if they're interested, not just mothers, but fathers as well, if they're interested in learning more about this, but their parish currently isn't doing family formation?
Again, our website has a great amount of information, familyformation.net. And feel free to call us, myself or Lori, in our office, 763-757-1148. We'd be more than happy to talk with you about how to make that happen.
So as Molly was saying, there are resources for parents.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. All right, so turning another page, let's bring Jessica Valzarini into the conversation. Jessica's been on the program here before, and we are welcoming you back to the studio. Jessica, it's good to see you.
Thank you, Patrick. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and you serve right now at the Church of St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, but you have served at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. You've been involved with family formation in a number of different parishes, as you've been in ministry for 17 years now. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations on that. So as a DRE, as a faith formation director, that sort of thing, what drew you first to family formation?
I have to say my first encounter with family formation is when I worked at the Church of St. Paul in their youth ministry program.
Okay.
And it was my job at the time to find small group leaders for seventh grade. And as always, you know, Patrick, you're always looking for more volunteers. And we were one short. So I took a girls' small group. And we had a great junior high program that really provided a foundation of faith. And I was finding that the girls knew the answers to the questions in the great curriculum we used. And so I was challenged to go deeper with them. So the foundation that they began with, that they received in first through sixth grade through family formation, changed what we could do with them once they hit junior high, middle school age, because they already knew a lot. And so it was helping them make it personal as they transitioned from childhood into adolescence. How are they going to make it their own and then start living it for themselves, not just because the family was doing it? So that was my first experience. My other experiences have been in parish ministry, where changing culture from an ed model, a drop-off model, can be difficult.
Yeah.
Because this is a completely different kind of methodology. But what we hear in the documents of the church, the heart of the church, saying, hey, families, become what you are, which is the domestic church.
Right.
And what I found over and over again in homes that did family formation when their kids were little, and maybe the parish doesn't do family formation anymore, is it really brings home the truths of the Catholic faith, but it helps families become that domestic church. Because I think for many of us, we don't know how to do that. We maybe didn't grow up with it in our home. Maybe we've walked away from it since our, you know, eighth grade graduation, which was confirmation. And so we don't know how to do that. And so I see in homes 10, 15 years later, the activity still hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
So that when friends and family and people from the neighborhood come into the home, they say, hey, what's that? And they can evangelize. And so it really gives families tools on how to live faith, how to discuss faith in the home, and to rebuild what the church asks us to be, which is the domestic church. So it gives families those tools. And so I've seen that transform family life.
Yeah.
I had one priest that I talked to out in South Dakota, and he just thought, hey, why is this so hard for our families to do? Just do it right after dinner when you sit at the table and have dinner together. And the DRE had to say, oh, Father, yeah. Families don't do that
anymore.
Yeah,
they don't do that anymore, right.
And so how do we teach them to be family?
Right.
And families look different. I mean, there are families that are divorced. There's families where grandparents are helping to raise kids, and it's all real life. But even in that situation, the flexibility of a non-textbook model allows families to, in whatever state, whatever place, wherever they're coming from, they are able to begin to weave family life and faith together, not just on Sundays or not just on Wednesday nights.
Right.
And that transforms people, families, parishes, and your community, because it really allows you to be transformed by Christ.
Yeah, amen. So I do want to draw that out just a little bit more, because I'm guessing that there are some significant challenges in shifting from one model to another when you're talking about family formation behind the scenes that parents may or may not recognize, that in the beautiful, wonderful, complex, sometimes challenging institution that's both human and divine we know as the church, it can be difficult to shift gears even over the course of time. I think you've painted a pretty good picture. I think all our guests have painted a pretty good picture of why it's worth it. But what would you say, Jessica, to those who are considering this move but thinking, wow, this is gonna rock the boat, as it were?
Yep. I think first, always start with yourself. And so if this is something that begins to stir in your heart to learn about, to be an advocate for, then to start there, if it's calling Deb in the office, if it's coming to our workshop in April, but to just be able to say, hey, I'm going to start looking and living and maybe doing family formation in some way personally, so that I can bring those fruits of my personal testimony to Father to say, hey, I think this could be a good fit for the parish. In our workshop in April, we tend to hand out a handout that talks about sort of a three-phase plan where you start to till the soil and start talking about, what does the church really teach about family life? What should that look like? You fertilize the ground, and then there's maybe a little bit more of an openness to say, hey, how do we move in the direction to help families live what they're supposed to be? And so some of that is prayer, fasting, all the typical things. Changing culture is really about education, helping people to understand the reasons why. And there's a lot of reasons people do faith formation, and all of those motivations are good, but what bears fruit? I think we've seen in our church that our young people are leaving in college in droves. And what we've done for the last several years, several decades, isn't working. It's not keeping them connected to the church and to Christ. And so what are those ways in which we can be innovative and different and help that last longer? I'd say the second thing that's really important is the parish priest has to be on board. And so how do you talk about it with him? How do you help him learn more about it? Maybe if you're not on staff, but you're, you know, a volunteer, just a parent in the parish, that you would be able to present it and introduce it and get some buy-in from parish staff to say, hey, I don't know, my kids aren't getting what maybe they should. How could we move in this direction? And then there's lots of options, lots of examples all over the country on how people are implementing it, whether it be, hey, we're just going to start this year with some family events where parents come on site once a month for something that they do with their kid. Mm-hmm. And that might be all you can do for a year or two.
Right.
And then some places, they do the family formation lessons that parents do at home. Well, they do it in the classroom in the school with the children once a week to get them really solid catechesis. And again, another way to transition. And so it really is an individual discernment. What are you ready for? What's the parish ready for? What can parents, what are they capable of doing early on? And then when the culture starts to change, I think they start to ask for it.
Right.
They start to ask for more, like Molly said.
Yeah.
I want to go on a silent retreat, or I want to go on a retreat for myself so I can be more fruitful with my kids. Mm-hmm. I would say at the beginning of starting family formation, you might not know.
So as you see fruits in the domestic mm-hmm. church, you see it in the,
absolutely.
In the body, mystical body of Christ as well. Well, you mentioned the parish priest playing in, obviously a very central role. And when Father gets behind it and when Father is in favor of it, then things can really start to percolate away. Because you mentioned that, we're going to take our next break right now. And then as we come back, we're going to be speaking with Father Don Wagner, who is going to tell us about his experience as a parish priest with family formation. Rediscover.
Minnesota Twins great Dan Gladden and the president of Coordinated Business Systems, Jim Arricchio.
Dan, do you know why so many organizations choose Coordinated?
Well, there's Kyocera MFPs, Kyocera Color Systems, and there's Kyocera Network Printers.
And just as important, it's Coordinated's customers first always.
I think Coordinated customer Chong Nang Tao, president of Life Financial Partners, agrees. He says it's not just the machine, it's, as Jim put it, Coordinated's customers first always that helps us be more efficient at what we do.
That's Coordinated's customers first always.
Boy, Jim, you're like a major league ball player. A commitment to always perform at the highest level.
Me? A major league ball player? I have a bat, a glove, you know. And what do you think about this physique?
Well, I can tell you about the physique, but I'm going to get back to you on that.
Kyocera, Kyocera, and customers first always. Visit coordinated.com. Kyocera and Coordinated Business Systems.
Customers first.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Crystal Crocker sitting in for Susanna Boley, our producer today. Paul Sadek, as usual, here is our technical producer and coming to you live on this Friday morning out in the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. On the line now as we talk about family formation is Father Don Wagner, who is the pastor of Saints Peter and Paul out in Bram, Minnesota. So welcome to you, Father. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning to you. And now, just to clarify, Bram is not in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Is that correct?
That is correct. We're part of a tri-parish cluster in the St. Cloud Diocese. So the other two parishes of the cluster are Christ the King in Cambridge and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Isanti. So it's a three-parish cluster.
Very nice. Okay. Well, thank you again for joining us. And so how did you start getting involved, or when did you start first hearing about this family formation idea?
When I was assigned as pastor over to Cambridge, the first year I was at Cambridge and at Bram, and I had an opportunity in that first year, and this was I'm going into our fifth year now. So that first year, when I plugged into the program, I evaluated how things were going in each respective parishes, and you could see those things that were working, and yet I recognized, as many people did, that there was a lot of people falling through the cracks. And basically, I got involved because it wasn't first myself, I think, asking for changes. I believe that it was coming from the community itself, from the parishes. People who came to me and said, Father, there's something lacking in the program. They weren't attacking the people or teaching and so forth. No, not at all. What they're saying is they're hungry and thirsting for something more. And so we built upon that which we had and tried to identify ways in which we could actually start reaching the broader parish.
Yeah, nice. And so, Father, speaking honestly, did you as a pastor, did you have to sort of be won over to this model, or was this something that you thought was kind of a godsend, that you thought, well, wow, this is exactly what we need?
I think it was more of, I think this is what we need. I don't believe at the beginning that I had to be won over. I had a lot of questions.
Sure.
Because any time you implement a new program, you have to be prepared to identify what the challenges are going to be and be able to explain it to the parishioners and catechize them already to come aboard with you. So, but I was open to something that had a deeper substance to it.
And now that you've been at it for a few years now, what kind of fruits? Has it been worth it, the transition to family formation?
The fruit of what I've seen there is I can see confidence in the parents.
Mm.
Confidence in the parents, and as they come to different events, at first I recognize, as in many parishes, when parents came or a single parent dropped off their child and went off and did other things. Now they are participating. They are a part of the process, and I see the confidence growing within the parents.
Mm.
They will sit there and say, oh, please don't ask me this question, Father. Don't ask me this year. And I don't approach it that way. I come with the lesson plan and say each of us are a different part of the church and different gifts and ministries and talents. Each of us have a different understanding of things, but let's begin with these common truths. And so they feel more confident then to take the message they have received and start sharing it with their family and in the church.
So just so I understand, Father, are you the one teaching the parents at the monthly meeting?
No.
Okay.
I'm just part of a team.
Okay.
And so I'll choose a topic or two that I will teach, and then we start drawing from the parish communities and sometimes speakers outside the parish community as well.
Okay. So just from a logistical standpoint, would you say that since you switched to family formation, or since you have experience in kind of both worlds, the drop-off model and the family formation, and let's not be too disparaging, maybe we should call it the classroom model, the typical classroom model of religious education. Would you say that one or the other takes more investment on your part? Because I know time is very precious for a priest.
Time is precious for everyone that's involved there.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And so if I see it as a priority, then I would say, my gosh, look at the opportunity I have at this moment to be able to speak not only to students but to the parents as well. So I really believe that that evening or that morning, whatever location I'm at, we have two different locations. We have on a Wednesday night for parents who stay at that format, and we have Sunday morning after a Mass. And so we have given the same program choices. You want to come to the Mass and then go into his family, or do you want to come on Wednesday evening and participate? So we have two different options in our tri-parish cluster.
Mm, yeah, well, I think that's great that you have the parents can have that option in front of them, right? And so anything that you can say, anything that you've seen, particularly with some of the, you've seen said confidence in the parents, have you seen any kind of particular changes or fruits amongst the children or a particular child or anything like that that you can share?
Yes. Identify it first in the sacraments, particularly in the sacrament of reconciliation.
Mm.
What I've noticed there is, first of all, a better preparation. Now, a child will still come in and, and they'll struggle at first and different, to different degrees. But I can tell that when they come in and they've been instructed in a sacrament, how many confessions my brother priest, myself, have heard of first communicants and they stare at you, and they don't know the basic prayers that you ask of them. It's not all about memorization, but you want them to feel comfortable there. And a child who feels comfortable coming to the sacrament will give themselves permission then, to learn more of what the sacrament is about. They'll feel more comfortable coming into the sacrament, and I believe that they will return to the sacrament more readily as well. Instead of, this is something I have to do, I didn't feel comfortable in there. Father asked me to say some penance, but I never really understood these prayers and so forth, so they kind of drift away. But when they receive good instruction, so that's one area in the sacraments. And the other fruit that's born of it is, now we see the children who have been in a program for a couple of years are coming back, and they're starting to want to serve at Mass.
Mm.
And so that's fruit. That's fruit that's born of that. We had difficulty in getting children lined up to be servers. And now children are saying this, can I serve, after I First Communion? Or I want to start serving when I'm in fourth grade or something like that. And absolutely.
Right, right. Well, Father, I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, we're running up against the end of the hour here.
Sure.
But I want to thank you for being on the program this morning. And thank you for your work with families there. It's Saints Peter and Paul there in Bram. Thank you so much.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to do so. And I'll just leave it as one last plug and so forth.
Sure.
If any program, when you want to change it, I have to speak to myself and others. You just have to be patient. Be patient. I guess that's something I'd like to leave with that. And it'll bear fruit.
Right. Patience. Yeah. So, thank you, Father. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Yeah. Bye-bye. So just wanted to mention again before we go to our break, if you want to find out more about Family Formation, go to familyformation.net on the web, or you can find it also at rediscover-faith.org, and where there will be information posted there about an upcoming workshop in April that will talk all about the details to come if you are interested in getting more involved. We have other things going on around the Archdiocese right now in our backyard, so stay with us. Rediscover.
He's very against organized religion and claims himself as an agnostic.
Father Richard Simon.
You know, find a quiet Catholic church where the Blessed Sacrament is kept. And you just say to him, go, sit in that church for a little while and just say, God, if you exist, I want to know you. I remember a wonderful story of a university student was struggling with whether or not there was a God, and it was a secular university, and he went to his professor, who he knew was a Christian. He says, well, I want to know if there's a God. The professor said, go out to a field in the country on a starry, starry night and look up at the sky and say it as loud as you can. God, if you exist, I want to know you. And he came back and said, well, I didn't. He said, how did you feel? I felt really stupid. Well, that's a good start. So you want to get him not challenging me. Challenge God. God, if you exist, I want to know you. That's the proof of the existence of God. You talk to him, and guess what? He subtly talks back.
Father Simon Says, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on Relevant Radio.
We are your people. We are your children, oh God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Paul Sadek is in studio with us.
Uh-huh.
And you are here to tell us about some of the things we got going on.
Well, Paul, I'll get you started anyway. Part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
For those who have participated in and completed the fifth encuentro process at your parish, the Office of Latino Ministry invites all leaders in the archdiocese, parishes, lay ecclesial movements, and other Catholic organizations and institutions to participate in the fifth encuentro gathering on August 12th. Fifth Encuentro seeks to discern ways in which the church in the United States can better respond to the Hispanic Latino presence. The day will include bilingual discussions, activities, and conclude with Mass celebrated by Archbishop Hebda. This event will take place on Saturday, August 12th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. Visit the events page on archspm.org to find out more.
St. Anne's in Hamel invites you to their parish summer retreat led by Father Augustine Valeron on Friday, August 18th, 6 to 8:30 p.m. Saturday, August 19th, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday, the 20th, from 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Father Valeron is a world-famous preacher who has traveled to over 55 countries around the world. to bring Jesus to all who will come and hear. He's currently director of the Divine Retreat Center in Kerala, India, world's largest Catholic retreat center. Find out more. Visit stannhamill.org.
Gain valuable resources and knowledge to help further the work of stewardship in our parish communities at the Region 8 ICSC Stewardship Conference at St. Ambrose Catholic Church in Woodbury, August 17th and 18th. All parish, clergy, staff, and volunteers are invited to attend. This conference is hosted in the Archdiocese and co-sponsored by the Diocese in Region 8, Minnesota, and the Dakotas. For event details and registration, please visit www.archsbm.org/ICSC. Questions? Contact Margaret at slawinm@archsbm.org.
Grandparents, learn about God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. Early bird pricing for the Catholic Grandparents Conference has been extended till August 8th. Conference will be Saturday, August 26th at St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Center, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. To find out more or to register, visit CatholicGrandparenting.org. And a hot topic next week.
Yeah, very hot topic. Join us next week for a call-in show here on the Rediscover Hour. We're going to be joined by Father Michael Johnson and Father James McConville, who are both judicial vicars with the Metropolitan Tribunal, which serves as both the church community and individuals in the protection and defense of rights given in canon law, especially in regards to safeguarding the bonds of holy matrimony. This show will provide an opportunity for you to call in with your questions regarding matrimony and declarations of nullity. So that's going to be a hot topic, as Paul mentioned. Until then, friends, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.